What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everybody, inside the Celtics Life podcast. I'm Mark Allison here with my man Justin Quinn. The Celtics, fresh off their 12th straight win after an 0-2 start. A little dinged up. Justin, what's going on, my man?
Well, I am doing better than the Celtics roster this morning. All my facial bones are attached, and I don't need a mask to talk to you, so that's kind of helpful.
Hey, but they're winning despite it, right? Horford, a little scary with the concussion last week.
Scary.
Well, just because we saw what happened last year, and what did we miss? We missed almost an entire month, or was it an entire month last year?
I think it was like 8 or 9 games, so it was about a month.
It was almost the whole month of November. I think it was like in the third game last year, and then we didn't see him, I don't think, until maybe after Thanksgiving. Yeah. If my memory serves me.
It's scary stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's got to be one of those things. I can't even imagine dealing with a concussion. You know, I don't think I've ever had one. Maybe when I was a kid in sports, but I don't recall that. And I don't know. It's got to be like in the back of your mind all the time. You know, you take a blow to the back of the head, or you know, an errant elbow or something like that. I don't know. I can see that being very difficult to overcome, at least initially. Just for you know, especially initially.
I got rear-ended this summer and got my first real concussion, and it's awful. I mean, light hurts, moving your head hurts,
yeah,
noise hurts, everything hurts.
And I mean, you can totally see why they you know, take precautions with this stuff. You know, obviously that's why Horford missed all that time last year. If I'm not mistaken, it was the first time that he'd had a serious concussion. He spent a lot of time in the dark room there. And just like that, we had Horford out, missed 2 games last week. Kyrie goes down Friday night from a Aaron Baines elbow, fractures his face. I mean, we thought his nose was broken. There was a lot of misleading stuff coming out Friday about what exactly had happened. But now we do now know that he has a facial fracture. We don't have a confirmation if Kyrie's going to play tonight or not. I imagine we'll find that out this afternoon. So you'll probably already know this when you're listening to this matchup against Brooklyn tonight. I would imagine that Kyrie's not going to play tonight.
Why bother?
Just as a precaution. I mean, they should be able to take care of business against Brooklyn anyways.
Exactly.
Even if they did drop the game, it's not the end of the world. My thinking is you got to have him fresh for that matchup with Golden State on Thursday.
100%. And even if we lose, we win.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. Because anything that helps Brooklyn hurts Cleveland. Mm-hmm. So a loss there hurts that draft pick. So yeah, I mean, I'd be shocked if he played tonight, but I guess it's not out of the realm of possibility because Stevens was talking the other day like he's going to be back pretty soon.
It wouldn't surprise me if he plays, but I wouldn't play him personally.
Yeah, I mean, it's just rest up, get used to playing, you know, shoot around with that mask on a little bit or whatever you want to do, you know. Although he's no stranger to the mask, as we already said, he's played with it before, dropped 3 40-point games rocking one of those masks for a couple weeks. He had one of those 40-point games at our expense. Yep. So, you know, it's certainly not going to hamper him anyways. We know that. Or at least it shouldn't.
Well, he's currently sitting at number 5 in the NBA's there were 2 in the NBA's future projections for MVP, along with Al Horford at number 5 and number 7 in basketballreference.com's top 10 rankings for MVP. So I think people are noticing.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what, though? I think number 2 is a little high.
Who's higher?
Given I love Kyrie. For MVP this year, he's not in the top 20 for scoring or assists per game. Top 20. I mean, he's like, I don't know. Antetokounmpo is, I would say, the MVP right now.
I think he's the clear front runner.
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. So, yeah. Harden's putting up a pretty monster season again. Kristaps Porzingis. I don't know. I feel like I could rattle off like 10
games. Okay, so Kristaps Porzingis is pretty impressive so far, but when was the last time?
Obviously, his team, the Knicks stink. So, I mean, he's not going to win MVP. But right, no, so I understand that. But I'm just saying, I don't know. I think 2's way high, Kyrie. And as good as he's been, I think he's been great, you know. But I just don't think he has the numbers.
Yeah, I think 5's about right.
But I think his scoring average is gonna go up. I mean, right now, what is he scoring? 20 a game, just over 20? I would say that Horford has been more valuable than Kyrie, but because Horford's been
amazing. The Celtics,
amazing,
absolutely.
Year,
so. I mean, he isn't putting up the kind of counting stats that a lot of people usually assume a shade with that kind of
thing. Right, but he just kind of does a little bit of everything. Yeah, but hey, it's early yet. You know, we're only 14 games into the season, so a lot of things are going to change. And we know a guy like Kyrie's consistent, where some of these other guys that are at, you know, near MVP candidates right now will probably level off, you know, whereas we think he's going to get better. So, at least I do.
I actually think that Giannis is going to solidify his position now that he has Eric Bledsoe on his team to add as another scoring threat. I mean, he's not like, he doesn't have the gravity of a lot of players, but he does have at least enough of an outside shot and the ability to slash to the basket that it's going to open up more space for Giannis to operate in. I would not be surprised if he has this award locked up by the trade deadline.
Yeah, and I mean, he could totally run away with it, especially if LeBron isn't, you know, going full tilt LeBron all season. I mean, we've seen him have a few breakout games lately, carrying that team to some wins, but you know how he kind of throws it into cruise control sometimes for a month or so, and you know, maybe
won't
have the numbers.
What's going on here? Because like last night, the internet was freaking out because the Cavs came back from a huge deficit and beat the New York Knicks.
Right.
Like, you guys see what you're celebrating here? I mean, there's this big war of words between him and Enes Kanter, and like, guys, I just can't get into this. I'm sorry. It's cute.
Nikita, how do you say that?
I have no idea, so I'm not going to mangle it.
All right. So I'm not the only one. I don't know how to say it. Anyways, so basically, there was an incident, and I saw this video after the game. I didn't see the actual game, where, I don't know, he got a hard foul or something like that. And he kind of like nudges LeBron and then pushes him and walks away. And everyone was talking about what a tough guy he was. But I mean, he gave him a little shoulder nudge. LeBron looked at him like, "Are you crazy, little man?" And then he did like a push and then like scurried off. And then here comes Enes Kanter, like jumped in and gets in his face. So it's like, I mean, everyone was acting like he doesn't back down from LeBron.
Right away.
He literally pushed him and moved away as quickly as possible. I mean, look, I'm not saying I wouldn't do the same thing, but just like everyone could pump the brakes on what a tough guy he is, because I thought that was hilarious. And then Kanter comes in, you know, and obviously he's a big boy, so that's a more fair fight. Yeah, so with all the injuries, right, we've seen how injuries can affect us, and, you know, how the depth goes way down. Even though we've rallied off these wins, we've had some tough games when we've had to go shorthanded, particularly without Al in the lineup, because we don't have a ton of size, right? Baines, I mean, Morris can play the four, but he's, you know, we don't really have another guy that can play center, really. I mean, Theis can play center, but
yeah, he's not going to
undersized.
Monroe or...
Right, we're playing against Dwight Howard. You don't want Theis playing him for extended time. So we have the DPE exception from Gordon Hayward being down, $8.4 million exception. Any thoughts on how the Celtics can use that?
There's a lot of factors that influence how it can be used strategically. Like, for example, for those who aren't aware, you get this when you have a player who's injured with the intention to replace some of their production. It's not meant to replace all of their production. It's basically, the way it works is you either get the maximum mid-level extension amount that you can get the non-taxpayer, or half the salary, whichever is lesser. So it's designed so you can get a good player, but not a great player. And it's also limited to 1 year remaining on the contract. In other words, no matter what the kind of contract they have is, whether it's a team option, player option, mutual option, it can't go past this year. So if there's any kind of an option year after this, that eliminates them from being able to be used on. That said, the $8.4 million doesn't count against the cap, which is, again, its intention. You know, so that way, like, a team normally wouldn't be able to add another player beyond the minimum gets around that obstacle. They do still have to pay tax on it if it drives into the tax. So, yeah, so that way...
That was my next question.
Like, yeah. It makes more sense to wait as long as you can, because if there's a... You know, if this was like... I'm not saying it is, but if this was a really crazy, like, Miami Heat last season run that was really more fluky than it was representative, then maybe you find out later in the season after a 15-game win or losing streak or something. I'm not saying that it's going to happen. Don't chop my head off. But like, let's say something like that happened. It would make a lot less sense to go into the tax if you were near the tax for a team that isn't necessarily going to be competing very far into the playoffs, if at all. Now, in this situation, I think that there's a very, very, very good chance that what we're seeing is mostly, if not completely real, in terms of how good the Celtics are. So I think they're going to end up using it. Now, they can go for a veteran kind of locker room presence guy, like, I don't know, Vince Carter, for example, was a guy who was being floated early. But, I mean, we're seeing people like Vince Carter. He's putting up like a point per game or something like that, in like 15 to 20 minutes per game. He's just really, it's just token performance at this point.
It looks like 1 year too many for Vince, yeah.
No, he's really.
He was good last year, but yeah, it looks like he
presence
hit on.
Personified, yeah. Which is great, but not at that kind of money. You're not going into the tax for that. You know, you can get that from a guy on at the minimum. You know, I mean, like, I think Mike Miller is the highest paid locker room presence guy I can think of at like $5 million a year for Denver last year. So that's probably not the kind of guy who is going to be taken. So then that leaves two kinds of tiers of people. Like, one is someone who maybe has something going on where they're not really in a good situation, but they're also young and have potential to re-sign in the future. Now, we won't get the bird rights unless we trade for them. So trading is something that needs to be thought of. We also don't have a lot of roster fodder at this point. Like, almost everyone on the roster plays at least some kind of important role for this team. So really, there's only three or four guys that could be, you know, lumped into it, which is good because maximum salary included in a trade can get most of the way there anyway. These young kind of guys I'm thinking of are people like Alex Len or maybe Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, and my personal favorite, Randall from the Lakers. He is on the
block. You think he'd be
on the
block?
It is official.
Is he on the block?
It has basically come out through reliable sources that neither the team nor he are very, you know, into the idea of a contract beyond this year with the Lakers.
That's interesting.
It mostly has to do with the fact that he hasn't developed an outside shot yet, really, though he's not horrible. He's like kind of like in Marcus Smart rookie year levels. He was in more or less every trade rumor that they've had in the last, you know, season. So I kind of understand why he'd be pissed off. It's kind of a shame because he, as much as anyone I can think of, except for maybe Lonzo, was into the idea of being a Laker, like outwardly, he was like super, super psyched. And then that organization treated him like crap.
Right. So, now, see, I'm of the opinion that they're going to sit and wait on this until February, March, maybe after the trade deadline when the buyouts all come up. Just because unless there's a guy that Ainge really loves, I mean, we know he used to like Okafor a few years ago, but I don't know that there's that same interest. Although there was a rumor that we were looking to trade for him, but they wanted a first round pick. But my thinking is, you know, buyout season comes when guys, some of these veteran guys, there's going to be, there's every year, there's always some guys, you know, that like last year was Andrew Bogut and Terrence Young. There's going to be some guys. The Celtics didn't bite on any of those guys last year because I don't think that they honestly thought that they were legitimately contenders, or maybe they just didn't want them. But and like you said, it's going to depend also on where they think this team is. I mean, it, obviously 12-2 is awesome, but is that? I mean, we know we're going to be
sustainable.
Yeah, I mean, we know we're going to be around the top of the Eastern Conference, but I mean, if we're in first place in, you know, February, I mean, they're definitely going to be looking to, even regardless if Hayward's around or not, they're going to look to push, right? So, yep. I mean, there'll be some options available.
Well, that's the other tier of people that I was talking about, and that is stars or near stars in their prime or, you know, near the end of it, but guys who end up shaking loose on the buyout market, as you were talking about. Mm-hmm. Greg Monroe was a person, you know, he landed with the Phoenix Suns. What are the Phoenix Suns going to do with Greg Monroe? He's going to help them win games, and they don't want to win games.
Right.
You know, I don't think he's a good fit for Boston. I don't think that he's a very likely buyout candidate. But, you know, if he does get his salary bought out to the tune of, you know, 10, 12 million bucks, then he'd be a good fit for something like that. And, you know, if nobody better is around, I think I'd take him for a season just to really try to push.
A little size, and I'm like I said, I think we're thin at the five, and it would be, you know, even it would just be good to have another big body that can play, you know.
And beat the crap out of guys, and you got 12 fouls.
Right, and of all the contenders, come that time of year, we're gonna have that $8.4 million exception, should they not spend it, and we're gonna be able to throw more money than any of those other teams, which are all gonna be maxed out too. So that 8.4 is going to look really, you know, really good, because these guys aren't going to be trying to sign with, you know, teams. The teams that are under the cap are going to be teams that are not in contention for anything. So,
well, I'm going to try real hard not to think about the other moving piece in that equation being Gordon Hayward's recovery. But I mean, the possibility of using this resource and having a slim though possible chance of having him back, it's a really great thing to have on top of this winning streak. So as awful as that event was, his leg being broken that early into the season, the basketball gods have been as kind as they can be, I think, in this situation to the Celtics. So I'm appreciative, to say the least.
For sure. You know what I find interesting about that? And I think it's a very slim chance that he comes back in you know, late season. But the thing that I think he did a good job by coming out. He came out with that story and said that he was out for the season. You know, like he already claimed that he was done for the year. And I think that totally takes the pressure off. And it's just like, you know, whatever. But no one plan on me coming back. And then if he does, it'd be a huge momentum swing, you know? But
I mean, it might not. He might be Jonas Jerebko when he gets back this season, you know? It's a lot to ask of someone to come back at all for that. And
I only think it's a good idea for him to come back. I don't expect him to come back and play 30 minutes a game, but I think it's a good idea for him to come back and test out the ankle a little bit in real game action.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
5-10 minutes here.
Yep.
That's what I think. And then you can go into next season with a clear mind and say, hey, look, I can play. You know, I can move around. I broke my ankle last year, and you know, I still don't, you know, I'm also not that active either, but at the same time, I'm not playing professional basketball, but I was playing basketball maybe 4 or 5 months after my injury, not running around like a maniac, but at the same time, I wanted to know that I could still move around, you know?
Absolutely.
So, you know, I think as far as a mental thing, I think it's a good thing if he could get it back just to play a little bit.
I think that's why he was shooting and passing from a chair, because I don't think he actually thought he was going to do anything to improve his game. I think it really, in that situation, was all about keeping his mind in the recovery.
Yeah, totally. So like we said before, 12-game win streak, playing Brooklyn tonight. What do you think, Justin? Well, how long can we keep this thing going? Golden State looming on Thursday. Let's say we beat Brooklyn tonight, right? We both expect they should win that game. I mean, obviously, bad things can happen, but even if without Kyrie, we think we should win that game. You think we can get by the Warriors at full strength on Thursday?
I think we beat the Warriors, and...
Ooh.
I mean, come on. They've already dropped, what, 3 games this season? Came real close in a couple others. I think. Yeah. I don't think they're really...
3 games. What losers.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying it's pretty early. Like 20% of their
games.
Yeah.
No, I know.
So, I think that the Celtics are just... They're going to think that they're, you know... They're going to be feeling themselves a little too hard, and they're going to wake up next week and realize they just lost a game to Atlanta.
So you think it's going to be one of those games? You think they'll show up big time for the TNT Thursday night game, beat the Warriors, and then lose to the lowly Hawks?
I do. I think it's going to be the reverse of the last time. I think was it the double overtime time we played the Warriors?
Yeah, they won.
Went and lost to the Bucks the next day. That pissed me off.
Okay, I can respect that. I think I'm really excited to see. I mean, it's really the first big game of the year. I mean, obviously, aside from Game One, this is the one I've been looking forward to. Especially after we started playing well, so it's going to be interesting to see. We've matched up well against the Warriors the last few years, so. With the new roster turnover, it'll be interesting to see how, if that continues.
I have a nickname for the defense. You know, they have their death lineup. I call ours the Thicket.
Mm-hmm. Thicket, because it's just so
it's
hard
long,
to get through.
It's tall and impossible to get through.
There we go. I like that. So speaking of that, the defense, right, been off the charts this year. How do you compare this team to last year's team?
In that it was completely unexpected. It's just been really weird the last two seasons. Like last season, everyone was like, yeah, Boston's going to be a top 10 defense. And we could barely even get to the edge of the top 10 defense for most of the season. But we were like really, really like top of the league, top five most of the season, mostly behind Isaiah Thomas's amazing season.
Yeah, I mean, he carried us
just
all year.
An offensive powerhouse powered by a 5'9" guard. Yeah.
5'9". Yeah, the way you look back at that and how bad we were on defense and how bad we were rebounding the ball, and yet we still finished with the number one seed. That little man was incredible. It's a shame there were so many other big seasons with like Westbrook and Harden last year, because it would have been cool if he walked away with the MVP.
Well, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Better or worse?
What head to head, 7-game series, who wins?
I think this team takes it in 6 games this year.
Yeah, I would say even less than that, 5 games. Isaiah would have to really go off, and I don't, with this length and these guys, how quick these guys move. On defense, I think he would have a hard time getting his shot off.
Oh,
against
he would
this
have
team.
An impossible time.
But
yeah.
Obviously, we know. Yeah, I mean, a lot of trees in there. So those swing forwards that Stevens loves so much. And speaking of the swing forwards, we got a couple of kids down in the D League that are playing balling out. Jabari Bird and Kadeem Allen both playing lights out. I mean, Jabari Bird scoring like 24 and 9.5 rebounds.
I have actually nothing to catch.
Kadeem Allen. Yeah, I haven't. I've only seen highlights. I haven't actually sat and watched the game, but they look pretty impressive. Allen's averaging 17, 8,
wow.
And 6. I mean, it's pretty good stuff. And that's through 4 games, but that's. Pretty awesome. I know I'm pretty sure Bird is near the top of the D League in scoring, so I'm not exactly sure what that is, but I know he was when I looked last week. So
that's promising.
I mean, having some it's pretty cool. So it's nice to see. I mean, these guys were older players. We saw with the second round picks this year, they decided to go even with Ojeleye too, with seniors, you know. They're games a little more matured than taking a 19-year-old or a 20-year-old at you know, in the second round. I think the Celtics wanted a little depth, in, you know, just in case. I mean, obviously, if those guys are playing this year, we're going to be in trouble. It means, but to have them for, you know, to play sparingly minutes is not, you know, the end of the world. If they were at the end of your bench for a couple games, it looks like both the guys can play. So, you know, Bird's already played in a few games.
They have not been coming up since the so-called clock started ticking in terms of their two-way contracts. They were with the team. Mm-hmm. At least Bird was with the team, actually, I should say, considerably.
Yeah, I don't think Allen's. Yeah, he hasn't played yet, but Bird's been with the team. Yeah, for especially with the injuries, you know, he's been around the team. He's missed a couple of the main Red Claw games because he was with the big club. So, yeah. So I mean, I think they wanted the older guys. A little more matured games coming out, and you know, if you know, break in case of emergency, at least it looks like these guys can play.
So, there has been a bit of a controversy about one of your favorite
players. Oh, yeah, we've discussed this at length off the pod, but let's get to it.
So, Austin Ainge decided to weigh in on Twitter recently on the nicknames. And I say nicknames of Terry Rozier. So Terry is known by his teammates as T-Ro, but in the Celtics Twitter sphere, he has picked up the moniker Tito, I think from Sam Packard was the guy who coined that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. I always called him Tito because of Terry is Tito is like a nickname for Terry. I mean, I'm a Red Sox fan. We had Terry Francona for years. He was Tito. So I didn't realize that wasn't as wide known. Now, I wasn't familiar with the Tito Three Sticks thing that Jan Packard came up with, but I do like that. It's very good. But it was boggling to me that so many people didn't know that Tito was a nickname for Terry because you didn't know that.
Nope, never heard it.
I finally learned Justin on something. And so, but see, you know, here's my thing, all right? So a wild move by Ainge to depict what people call him. Like, he must not know that Tito is a short for Terry either, because he was very adamant that we were making a mistake, you know, on his name.
We heard it wrong.
Yeah, no, nobody heard. I didn't hear it wrong. I know that they've called him T-Ro, you know, but I don't even call him Tito. It's just, I know that that's what a lot of people call him because of the Terry thing. I personally call him Rose, you know, a little Rick Ross thing. I always post memes with, you know, Rick Ross or Rose. I mean, Justin knows I blow up our Google chat with Rose every time he does something crazy, but. And my thing
also his Twitter handle.
And I well, this is what I was just gonna say. So I've been calling him that for quite some time now, and that's in his Twitter handle. So I don't care what they call him, T-Ro, Tito. I think he prefers to be called Rose, and that's what I'm gonna keep rolling with.
All right.
Based on the Twitter handle alone.
Works for me.
But either way, it's cool. I love it that he has like 50 nicknames. It's awesome.
So Mindaugas Kuzminskas. He was waived by the Knicks. Should we care?
I mean, I don't care. I mean, it's, you know, I don't. Was he like super hyped or something like that? I was looking at his stats from last year yesterday. Didn't really jump off the page.
No, you know, here's the thing. We have an open roster spot. He is a flexible player who can rebound a bit, pass, kind of like a very poor man's version of Gordon Hayward. He can play the four, he can play the three, he can defend, he can play heavy minutes and not be terrible, not turn the ball over a lot. He's not a guy that you want to use the DPE on. Don't even think about it. However, since it's not my money, if you have another injury, he might be a good option. You know, because he can play down to two and up to five, depending on the situation. You know, not a good fit. He's mostly a three. But he can play, you know, across those positions, guard those positions, and add some quality minutes. But he's making $3 million a year, so he's going to have to get bought out. And there's a lot of teams ahead of us in terms of the waiver wire, in terms of actually needing a player like him. Whereas he, you know, he might be a good boost for us, but we probably shouldn't care.
Yeah, I'd rather go with some size. You know, we got a lot of those guys that build. That's the Stevens mold there. So I'd rather get a big guy, but that's me.
So the games.
Yeah, last week, clean sweep. Again, that game against the Lakers. That was actually, when I say I was hyped for a game, I was actually really hyped for that Lakers game last week, too. And then I was bummed when Al was out. Yeah, and then, you know, we were up murdering them, and then they came back, and then, you know, at least we finished them off at a reasonable 10, 11-point win. And the Al thing came out earlier that day, so it was kind of a little crazy that he wasn't going to miss the game. I believe it was the same day, right, that he was going to miss the game?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, so.
Tatum tweaked his ankle. Thankfully, it was nothing major.
And he was, but Tatum was back in the lineup on Friday. And we had that wild game versus Charlotte. I mean, they were up 18 points in the second half. And if you haven't checked it out yet, you got to see the Green Envy from after that game, because it was it was maybe the best one I've ever seen. The comments, these guys. I mean, someone was talking about jumping off whatever the name of their building was. And some of the comments that they had were just absolute gold. Blowing an 18-point lead. I guess they blew an 18-point lead a week before, so this was a recurring nightmare for them.
I mean, everything recurring nightmare for that team. I feel really bad for them. I feel bad that they have the owner that they do. He's the best at basketball on the floor and maybe the worst off.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the Sunday at Toronto, one of the best games, like, in terms of quality of the year. It's a back-and-forth game. So that was number 12. Ended on a DeMar DeRozan shot that apparently Jaylen Brown had played some good D on. And we come to this week. Today, Brooklyn. Justin and I both think that we'll take care of business, whether Kyrie plays or not. Golden State, I'd say I could go 50-50. And Justin thinks that Atlanta is a trap game.
Just because they are sneakily better than the record looks like. You know, Collins is working out really well for them.
When is that Atlanta game? Yeah, is it Friday? It's not a back-to-back, is it?
I believe it's Saturday.
Okay, yeah, that sounds right. Yeah, so we will see. We'll be back at you next week, or maybe even before. We might have a special guest pod coming up in the next couple days, so be on the lookout for that. Check out the links at the top of CelticsLife.com. We've got a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in the store, and you can even get tickets to the next game up there. You can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure to let us know in the comment on any Celtics Life article or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. We're always trying to bring you guys the Celtics coverage you want the way you like it from myself and my man Justin. We'll check you guys later.
Take care, y'all.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.